text before us from John chapter 6 follows on the heels of the recording of our Lord's miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And following that, the people sought to make him their bread king, we are told. And Jesus now speaks these words to his disciples. Verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you're like me, you like food. I am pro-food. And I eat food like a pro. If I'm really hungry and I'm walking along and get the aroma of a really good restaurant, that can be a pretty powerful tug on me and can easily get me thinking about food. Our Lord uses the imagery, if you will, of a meal and of food and of bread as a way of addressing the more important matters that pertain to our spiritual lives and our eternal lives. And in the same way that my nostrils and olfactory system and so on can have my head turned and my appetite drawn and whetted toward a restaurant if I smell the right food being cooked and so on, the Lord uses this imagery as well to demonstrate to us how easily the food, the bread, if you will, of this world, the riches and the wealth and the pleasures and all of that of this world, can easily draw our hearts and our minds back to the things of this life. And we can easily find our lives being consumed by the things we can get here. It's a tempting thought for us to think that we don't want to wait for our heaven. We would like to have at least part of our heaven now. And that's a natural sense inside, a magnetic pull inside of all of us due to our sinful human nature. If you are in your early adulthood, as most of you are in a crucial stage of life as you are looking out into your future and as you're planning your future with your education in mind, maybe a relationship in mind, or maybe one that you hope to have soon and so on. There's so many wonderful things for you as you look forward in your life into the future. Today's economy makes us wonder sometimes what that future may hold for us. And there's a lot of concern about what is your actual physical, material life going to be like? What kind of occupations might be available for you? Will that same great American dream that maybe your grandparents or parents have had an opportunity to embrace and live in for a while, is that going to be quite as available and quite as large as it was for them, for you? Satan can use moments like this in our history, moments that deal with the economy and worry and fear about things and material things. He can use moments like this to draw our thoughts and our minds and our hearts back to the food of this world and to the restaurants of this world. He can use these things to cause us to again start to feel that what's really important to me in my life is taking care of all of these temporal things and taking care of earthly things and making sure that my life on earth is going to be okay. And don't imagine that because you've grown up in a nice Christian home that you are somehow immune to the aroma, if you will, of the bread of this world. Don't imagine that because maybe you have been blessed to have Christian education or to take your Christian faith more seriously or possibly even have pursued or are pursuing the ministry in some way, that somehow you are immune to the aroma of the bread of this world. Our Lord wants us to understand that should you or I choose to make some treasure or pleasure of this world our new God, whom we now live to serve, that there may be a time in our life when that new God benefits us. There may be a time in our life when that new earthly God gives us some advantage, it would appear. But understand this. The true God of heaven would have us understand this, that a time will come when that new earthly God we are bowing down to with our lives will let us down. There will come a time when that God will disappoint us and will leave us in ruin. The food of this world rots and decays, as good as it may taste on the front end. Go out the back alley of the finest restaurants, and you'll still find a dumpster with maggots in the food. And so it is with the food of this world, with the pleasures of this world. There is a time that they satisfy. There is a time that they give us something good. But in the end, it leaves us empty and in ruin. If you remember the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah when the Lord rained down fire and brimstone on those evil, godless cities, and he had taken time through his angels to spare Lot and his family, that believing family, to get them out of there before the destruction came. And he told them not to look back. But of course, we remember how Lot's wife turned and looked back. Our Lord uses that story to remind us about this world that is going to be destroyed and laid to waste when he says, "Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." God wants us, his children, to be careful of being like Lot's wife and turning back with a heart of longing to this world that is going to be destroyed. As one theologian put it, no one with a divided heart will be saved. Bethany College sits inside of Blue Earth County, which was established, I believe, in the early 1850s. And one of the first years on record that they tried to estimate the value of the property in Blue Earth County in 1853, the total property value of the whole county was $5,500. It's interesting that you could have purchased the county for $5,500 back then. 5 years later, now that more people had arrived, it was worth over $1 million. Now that's some appreciation. $1 million in 5 years. Today, I would assume it's in the tens of billions. And yet, it maybe has started to go down more recently. It's interesting how the value of property fluctuates with time and the interest of people and based on so many things in the economy and so on. Think about heaven for a moment as a property, if you will. There is no other place that has ever existed that is of such amazing value. The purchase price on heaven was the blood of the Son of God, was the incarnate God, God in the flesh, coming into this world to lay his life out on the cross and to suffer hell. No other property, no other place has that kind of value. Think about all of the things that your Lord Jesus could have come into this world and died on the cross to win for you. Think of all of the worldly riches and the worldly wealth. Think of all the happiness and the pleasures in this life that he could have used his death on the cross to buy for you. But he knew that none of that would be worth it in the end because it would all be fading. But heaven, heaven, your heaven, your future in heaven, that was worthy of his life. What an amazing place it must be that the Son of God willingly put himself across hell so that you and I could walk to heaven. And that same saving Lord Jesus, who has paid that price for us and freely gives us heaven by faith, doesn't want us to miss out on that wonderful home, described for us in Scripture as a mansion and a beautiful feast and a treasure and a banquet and a pearl and so on. And so our Lord says to us, while we're in this life and while we're tempted by the aroma of the bread of this life and the things of this world, he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Years ago, a man by the name of Thomas A. Kempis said this regarding Christ: "Love him and keep him for your friend, whom, when all else goes away, will not forsake you nor allow you to perish in the end." Years ago, kings or emperors often had a signet ring that they would wear that had their one special unique seal that they would imprint into the wax on a letter that carried very important messages and so on. The only food, if you will, that has the seal of the divine Father in heaven is the incarnate Christ. And wherever you find the seal of the Emperor of Heaven impressed upon that Christ, wherever you find that in his teachings or in anything that you read or in anything that you worship, wherever you find the saving Christ presented, this alone is the food that has the seal of heaven. Eat it and live for it. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of the family of Aaron Manti. Aaron's father, Kurt Manti, was suddenly taken from this life at the age of 58 on Saturday. And we'd like to offer a prayer today for Aaron and for his family. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the many blessings that you brought into the life of Aaron and the other members of his family through your dear servant, Kurt, and also through the many children whom he taught your word in the Christian day school programs. We pray now that in this time of difficulty and sadness and loss that you would be with Aaron and with his loved ones, that you would comfort them with your presence by your word, and that you would also grant them the wonderful hope of the reunion in heaven that you give to all of your saints. Teach all of us to number our days that we may gain hearts of wisdom, and help us always in true faith to live for the bread that truly satisfies eternally. We ask it all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.